Well, if you got your hand out, we'll start and give the apologies. It's James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I got the wrong chapter on there, but we'll get started. James chapter 4. And we'll see that the theme continues about faith. And as it continues about faith, you may be looking to see, well, how are we talking about faith when it's talking about from whence comes wars and fightings amongst you, come they not, and even of your lust. But I believe if you start off in chapter 3, verse 16, where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. The theme of the whole book of James still continues to be this faith that goes to work, as one old preacher put it, faith that wears work clothes. And it really is. It's that faith that should show the world around us that you've got something that changed you. And you remember we've been contrasting that you can't get the, as the saying goes, the cart before the horse and say, well, that means if you don't do this, you're not saved. Well, then you're putting works on a salvation and you're saying, well, in order to be saved, you have to do this. And that's not right. And then if a person comes over here and says, this salvation that I got, it doesn't produce any works. That's not right either. This salvation does produce works, but if you go getting the cart before the horse and say, well, if you were really saved, you'd be doing this, 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 and this. We have to stick where the Scriptures stay. And as the Scriptures very clearly says, if you're saved, you will get chastened of the Lord. You'll get the Lord to come chasing you, chasing, chasing, chasing you, or chastening you, as the Bible puts it, if you're one of His. So, do I go and tell a person, well, if you were doing that, you're not saved. I don't go into that because you can't, again, put the cart before the horse. I can tell a person this. If you sin without any conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and He doesn't come after you, then the Bible clearly says that we're none of His. If we don't receive that chastening, because whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, every son whom He receiveth. So we see that theme coming forth in James, that this faith that's true, it produces these works. And so from the simplest to the most complex of issues, we see that faith really would answer so many of these questions and so many of these problems it would solve. And I want to look at the first three verses of chapter 4 tonight, and I trust that it'll be a blessing. From whence come wars and fightings among you? The simple question is asked. Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. And we'll stop there tonight. We'll look at these three verses and trust the Lord bless us as we look at these wars and fightings. Father, be with us now. Give us these next moments to let your word get into us, dear Lord. I thank you for the crowd that's gathered tonight. It's a blessing. I see the sun shining through these windows, and I realize that there's a dozen things people could have been doing, but they wanted to gather around your word. And Lord, that's such an encouragement as a pastor. And then, Lord, not only these ones, but then others that are homebound for one reason or another, they're gathering around watching it live stream. Lord, it's a thrill to my soul, and I pray that you'd bless our time that we dedicate to it tonight, and that you'd move upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to look at these, from whence come these wars and fightings, the Bible asks, and then God answers the question, come they not hence, even of your lusts and your lust that war in your members. And we see here, as we look at this first verse, the outward symptoms from inward problems. And now in this day, when it was truly first written to the people there and they're reading this, there were really wars going on. You say, well, is that symbolic, the wars that were fighting amongst each other? Well, it applies to that, but this was specifically talking to, there were skirmishes, there were a lot of wars going on and different people fighting back and forth. And so I can say tonight, from verses like this, from everything to wars that are going on this evening as the Sunday came and went, Dr. Siss talked about wars for all of these years that have been going on somewhere in this world. We once in a while get into one of them as well, but all kinds of them. Sometimes we don't even hear about them, but all kinds of wars going on. Whence come these wars? Well, from the wars between nations to the sibling rivalries that you've experienced in your family as you were growing up. Where do they come from? Well, they come from those lusts and that war in our members. Doesn't matter whether you're talking about a family, whether you're talking about a neighborhood, whether you're talking about a church, whether you're talking about a country, or whether you're talking about a world. We see that these fightings come from those, that lack of faith, that lust. You say, well, how do you get that? How does that link to faith? Well, let me put it to you this way. Whatever status you're in, if we truly trusted God by faith, we wouldn't be eyeing what somebody else had and trying to take it from them. We would trust the Lord that what He's given me I need, and what He hasn't given me I don't need right now. That's what faith is. But when we don't have faith in the Lord, as James tells us we're supposed to as believers, when we don't have that faith, then we automatically want to start evening scores. Well, if He's got it, and I should. I've got it, and I don't want it, so I'm going to give it to them. And we understand that these things come about by our lust that war in our members. So many skirmishes or wars are occurring in that day. Literally, they were happening. But these outward fights are because of inward struggles that we have. Again, we don't trust God. Faith is trusting Him. When we don't trust Him, then that leaves you elected to solve the problem. How many of you ever solved a problem that you should have let God handle? Well, I've done it lots of times. We just jump in and say, well, Lord, You must need help on this one. Well, God doesn't need our help. He will repay. Vengeance is His. I will repay. You say, I know, but I want to be a soldier of the cross. Yes, but usually we're signing up in the wrong position. God wants us fighting on one front, and we try to go to the other front. We see that these outward fightings, they were coming, though, from these inward struggles. And these inward struggles were those lusts. And lust is simply this, by definition, an unrestrained and unlawful desires. We always think of lust, of course, I've mentioned it before. We always think of lust as sensual or fleshly, and that's true. But when you desire something, it doesn't have to be that sensual or that fleshly part. It can just be something that you desire, and that unrestrained and that unlawful desires is what it's talking about here. These lusts that war in our members. And so these outward fights, they're coming from the inward struggles that all of us have. And those inward struggles were kind of summed up in verse number 16 of the previous chapter, where envying and strife is. There's confusion and every evil work. I told you when we covered that verse, that's a hard one for me to swallow. I believe it because it's in the book. I don't have any problem believing the whole Bible. I'm like the one preacher says, I like from cover to cover. I even like the cover. It says Holy Bible. I like it all. And I believe it all, but that's a difficult verse to say. Every evil work comes from that envying and strife. That's an amazing statement. And so we see as one of the ways that plays out is even in our world wars that we fight. And we understand that those outward fights, they come from the inward struggles that all of us have, and we see that that's that lust. And lust is the opposite of faith. Again, get away from your minds that lust in a sensual, physical way. Just that lust, desiring something that's not supposed to be yours. You've got a brother, you've got a sister, or you've got kids, and one of them what the other has, and they don't want what they have. It's amazing. It's that way in everything. If girls, as they grow up, if they got curly hair, they want to have straight hair. If they got straight hair, they want to have curly hair. Some of you men just wish you had any kind of hair. You just want what you don't have. Boy, if you're short, you want to be tall so you can play basketball. If you're tall, you think, oh, I'm just too tall. I draw too much attention to myself. And we always desire what we don't have. It's just our human nature. It's our flesh. We always think if we're a big talker, we wish we could be more contemplative. We wish we could be more somebody who was more thoughtful. If we're that person who's afraid to speak up, we say, boy, I wish I had the gift of gab of that salesman over there. And we understand that those lusts, desiring to have what God didn't give you. Can I give you that 6th grade, 7th grade, 5th grade talk that I might do in chapel sometimes as I speak to a Christian school? If God wanted you to have something, He'd have given it to you. If He wants you to be better at whatever it is, He'd have let you. Now, you can practice and get better at things, but there's just some things that you're not made for. And if God had wanted us to have certain things, then we would have those abilities. If you're that shy, introverted one that doesn't even like to speak up when there's three people in the room, chances are you won't be a public speaker to speak before thousands of people unless God does a major work in your life. And if he does, then that's him, not you. And so you didn't lust for that. You didn't envy for it. So we understand, though, that these outward skirmishes in verse number 1 are from those inward struggles that we have. I want you to look at verse number 2, though, and we see here our faithlessness doesn't even allow us to get one of the things that Christians are supposed to have access to, and that's answered prayer. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. I was reading commentaries as we was preparing for this, and in this Harry Ironside, he brought again the idea that there's a reason why the world, he's been dead for some time now, there's a reason why the world is so dissatisfied. And it's so simple that sometimes we miss it. Our heart, our life, our essence will be satisfied with nothing less than the eternal things. A relationship with Christ, a home in heaven, those sweet fellowship, because even the fellowship of Christians are based upon Jesus Christ, who is eternal. And where we run into problems is look and see how much of our emphasis, how much of our exercises are trying to get the things that are temporal. And now they're not wrong, but you have to get a car to run around, get you to work. You have to have a house that you got to live in. You have to have a bass boat, some of you do, I know that. You don't have to have that one, that slipped in there, ladies, I'm sorry about that. Some people paid me good money to say that. They didn't, but I'm gonna charge them afterwards. But we have to have a lot of those things. We have to have food, we have to have our nourishment, we have to have all those things, but all those are temporal. And those are necessary, so I'm not telling you don't have a house, don't have a car, don't have food. We need all those, food, clothing, shelter. But look at how much of our emphasis is on those temporal things, but we know that the eternal is the only ones that satisfy. And so that author brought out that it's no wonder that we have so much trouble because our world, and it's gotten much worse since Ironside was writing, our world is trying to encourage everybody to get what they don't have. How many of you understand that we went a long time ago in our commercials and our advertising, we don't advertise for things that people need. We advertise for things that we want people to want. We quit advertising for the basics, the necessities. We've been advertising for a long time for all the extras. And so because of that, that just makes us unsatisfied, dissatisfied, I should say, with what we have. And so we see these lusts, and I don't know how I got off on all that except to say that that natural heart, our heart is never content with these temporal things, yet we keep lusting after the things that are temporal. So we see here the lack of trust in God, it brings turmoil. Look at this, the lust and have not. What does that cause? That causes disappointment. It causes turmoil. It causes us to be frustrated. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. We fight and we covet. And here's this part, my interjection on this verse. We fight and we covet because of lack of trust in God. I mentioned it already in the first point. But truly, if we want, coveting is truly just wanting what somebody else has. My mom used to tell me when I was a kid, I would say, well, I want that guy's bicycle. She said, honey, that's not right. You're not supposed to covet because that's his and you're not supposed to want that. Well, I said, well, mom, I want one exactly like his then. We're not supposed to covet. But when we covet, that's really in some way, that's a distrust in God's providential will. If he wants you to have it, don't we always complain about that when young people first get married? They say, well, they want what their parents had in the immediate, what it took their parents decades to get. Well, that's some lust, that's some coveting. Boy, I'd like to have that. And there's many problems that we have in our world right now, but it comes down to this lack of trust in God. We ought to be thankful for whatever God's given us. If you've got more than you can handle, then praise the Lord for it. If you think you don't have enough to get through this next week, then you just trust God anyways. And we understand that what happens is not only do we not trust the Lord or a lack of trust in Him. But when we see that the Lord's not doing it like we want, we take over. Well, Lord, I'm going to even the scores. We see school kids fighting, and we're going to see that, well, I don't like him getting the attention that I want, and so we start little wars over silly things. You got to understand that we want more now than we've ever wanted before. I gave you a little illustration. I was thinking about this as I was preparing. If you look at any group of houses, you can go down through Johnson City, wherever, whichever town you want to, and you see a group of houses that were built in the 50s. Were those houses, are they about 1,100 square foot, or are they 4,000 square foot? If they're built in the 50s, most of them were about 1,100 square foot, right? Did they have how many bathrooms? They had one. They was lucky to have that. That was a big upgrade. You know how many that was compared to what they used to have? One more. Well, a preacher told a story about him. His wife went and stayed somewhere and said, his wife wanted to go to the restaurant. He said, where's the restaurant? He said, outside. He said, where at? He said, oh, outside. I don't know. We never had that bad. But they were building houses, and they were working at some factories and things around, and those houses were pretty close, and they were mostly built just alike, and they were little 1,000, 1,100 square foot homes. 2-3 bedrooms and a living room out there that kind of connected to the kitchen and one bathroom. Now you think somebody's getting married now, first thing they do is, we got to remodel this. We can't get by on one bathroom. We gotta spread out with the house over here that the Lord allows to redo. That's exactly what we did. Put an extra one in so that families would come in and all get ready for church. I don't know what you used to do. Take numbers, I guess. Can you imagine this? We have smaller families than we ever had, and we've got more bathrooms than we've ever had. I was thinking about some of these families have 4 or 5 or 6 girls. Have mercy. They would never make it today. But we have allowed ourselves to become worldly, not sinful worldly, I don't think, but just of the world, and we have wanted more and more. And so I'm challenging you. Please don't go be a hermit and say, I'm not going to take any of these blessings. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So if you got a room for with more bathrooms and you got people in them, then praise the Lord, you never have to wait. And thank God for it. But let's just let the Lord's blessings dictate where we go from here. Don't be that one that's so dissatisfied with what God's given you. If you're living in a house with 2 bathrooms and you wish you had 4, you're wishing it, living in with 1, you thought wish you had 5 or whatever it is, just if God gives it to you, enjoy it and use it and for His glory and honor Him in it. If He doesn't see fit, if He does give you that old classic car, He gives you that boat or gives you that whatever or this, that, or the other, then fine. Please don't ever misunderstand. I'm not saying to not take the blessings of God, but I'm saying make sure you realize what they are, and that is the blessings of God. But here we have these people, you lust, you have not. You kill, you desire to have, you cannot obtain. You fight and you war. And even in all of that, God still gives that promise. Yet you don't have the things that you need because you don't ask. And we attempt to get them on our own. Then we give you this last one. And then he goes on to say, and then for those of you that that if you do ask, you don't have it because you don't ask. But then in verse number 3, he says, and then when you do get around to asking, you ask it in the wrong way. You ask amiss. So I'm thinking of this in that letter A underneath there, even in our religious activity, and I know we don't live a religion relationship with Christ, but you understand, in our activity, you know it's easy to get prideful even in this religious stuff we do. You say, how would you get prideful? Well, because you say, well, I'm a Wednesday night Christian. I come to church on Wednesday night. Well, I'm a Thursday night Christian. By the way, I'm a Friday, Saturday, Sunday one. I'm every night Christian. I don't go to church all those nights, but I'm a Christian all those times. But you know it's easy to get prideful because you do something that you see somebody else not doing. It's even easy to get prideful about, I've been doing it for longer than so-and-so. Or I do it better than they do. Or I'm better looking while I do it. I don't know. You can get prideful about almost anything. You can just... That wasn't for you, Leroy. You, Did you chime in on that better looking part? Wasn't you? I'm going to teach on lying next time. So, but even in religious activities, we're prideful. You ask and you ask amiss, that you consume it upon your own lusts. Now, I want to help all of us. I want to challenge you to look at your own prayer life. What are you praying for? One old preacher put it like this: we'll pray more prayers to keep a loved one out of heaven, meaning want them to get better, than we do praying for people to get out and stay out of hell. Sometimes our prayers even get selfish. Lord, would you help this? And Lord, would you bless this? And Lord, would you help this? And then you really take a true inventory of it. How many of us, just to make us more comfortable as we're going to heaven? Lord, I pray I get that job. God says you can pray about everything. As a matter of fact, He doesn't even put it in so many words. He doesn't even put it into disguise. He just says pray about everything. But He tells us here, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. And then, just in case we don't know what He's talking about, He says that you may consume it upon your own lusts. We pray for our will, not God's will, oftentimes. Now, I know at the end of our prayers, oftentimes we'll put, Lord, according to thy will, but we sure want it to be just like ours. And I'm challenging you to pray and get yourself in such a way that we trust the Lord. And I can promise you this, many, many times my prayers have been changed before I ever got down to the point of asking. Because you're getting in that prayer time, and I think this you understand in here that prayer time is not just, Lord, I got this, I want to talk to you about. That prayer time is just getting alone with the Lord, talking about His goodness and praising Him for some things and worshiping Him for His goodness, His holiness. He sustains everything. He created everything. God, this beauty that I see out here, you've made all of it possible. And I can, if I truly get in tune with the Lord, part of the time when I get down to that list of the things I thought I wanted, when I get to asking, I don't want them anymore. But now if I just rush right in and say, Lord, this is what I need, I find myself asking amiss a lot of times. So even in our prayers, if we're not careful, we don't trust God, because we're not willing to stay with Him long enough to let Him change our desires. You know, God talks about giving us the desires of our heart. When I was a kid, I used to think, oh, it's great, because I got a lot of desires. I knew what kind of car I wanted. I knew what kind of motorcycle I wanted. I said, God, if you're giving, I'm taking. But then I realized, as you grew a little bit in your faith, given the desires of thy heart, a lot of times, long before He changes your prayer request, He changes your heart so that you're asking, and that ask is really not what I start off wanting, but He kind of changed in the middle, and now I'm convinced that that'd be the best thing. And so if we're not careful, even in our religious activities, we'll have a misguided prayer and we won't walk by faith, but instead we'll walk by sight, we'll walk in lust, that we may consume it upon our own lust. I told you I was reading some commentaries by different people. One of them was Harry Ironside, who has been in heaven now, but he said this: to pray aright, there must be a separated life, with God Himself before our souls as the supreme object of our affections. Now we think about separated life. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't do this. And those are good things, or those aren't good things. Those are things you ought not to do. They're harmful to the one body God's given you. But He's not talking about that. He's talking about a life separated unto God. So listen, to again, if you would, to pray aright and pray in the proper way, there must be a separated life, with God Himself before our souls as the supreme object of our affections. And that goes right in line with what James is all about. Because if I've got faith in God, that faith in God drives me to want His will, not mine. But now I can pray, as it's mentioned in verse number 2 and 3, I can do a lot of praying, but not prayer in faith, and to try to consume my own lusts and do this religious activities, but do it all wrong. wars and fightings, whence they come, the Bible tells us that even that's from those lusts and that lack of faith. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And I pray that each person in this room tonight, dear Lord, has done a little soul searching as we looked in the Scriptures. Lord, I know myself that I have failed the test many times. Just rushed right in, not prayed in faith, not lived in faith. Did some religious activities out of the lust that I might consume it upon my own lusts. Lord, forgive me and help me to be that one that walks in faith, prays in faith, and lives in faith in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? As they find their place and they begin to play, if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray about something that's going on in your life. But I challenge each of you, Christian, if you're here as a Christian, I challenge you to take inventory. I mentioned it. I would challenge you to take a little inventory of your prayer life tomorrow. See how much of your prayer are for God's glory or just your good. Now, understand, of course, God's glory is for your good, but you understand what I'm saying. How many of my prayers are selfish? I'm afraid too many of them are. Let's pray in faith. So easy to get that mingled in there with my lust and desires, amiss praying. If you're here tonight and God's speaking to your heart, I challenge you, just make a decision. You can come here if you want. Make a decision in your seat. I'm a big believer that God's spoken to our hearts and given us what we needed. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved. I did not preach on that, but you're not sure that you're a child of the King. You're not sure that Jesus is your Savior personally. If that's you tonight, would you just step out and come? I'll meet you down here at the front. We'll take all the time you need and look in the Scriptures and show you how you can be saved. As they play one more verse. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in God's house tonight. And thank you so much for being here. Wonderful crowd on a Wednesday night. And I trust that the Lord has spoken to your heart as you look a little bit in James. And we'll continue on as we move through this book. And trust it will all be a blessing to you. If you didn't get a chance to slip through the ministry house, it'll be open. Brother Daniel will be over there and answer any questions. Challenge you to go do that and pray for our missionaries as they come through, and we're certainly thankful to get to use that for the glory of God. And this last thing, don't forget, this week is Mother's Day, so please be ready for that and buy your stuff you need to buy, whatever, all that stuff. That's not really my public service announcement there, keep you out of the doghouse, I guess, but what I want you to pray for me is we're going to have an 8:45 service. And then we'll have Sunday school at 10 o'clock like normal. And then we'll have an 11 o'clock service like normal. And so we'll add that 8:45 service starting this Sunday. Then we'll continue on. But please pray about that. We want the Lord to bring in the 8:45, whoever he needs to bring in. And we'll have a wonderful time. We won't have children's classes or nursery at that 8:45 service. The 10 to 11, of course, everything will be full-blown just like normal, but there won't be at that 8:45 service. But we're trusting that the Lord will use it, and I want you to please pray with me. We're not doing it just so we can be, I don't know whether that even is popular. We're not doing it just to say we're doing it. We're doing it to help alleviate some of the pressure on the crowd on 11, and I'm just trusting the Lord will take it and use it. So please pray with me about that, and we're excited about what he's going to do. So thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.